Well, it's Monday. Hello, everyone. The 19th of September. I'm Tom Turbeville, and thank you for logging on to sports on WTAW.com. Well, we told you this morning that this may be a very active week in the conference realignment story in A&M to the SEC, and it looks like it's headed that way. University of Oklahoma's Board of Regents granted school president David Boren the authority to take action regarding conference realignment today. The move came just hours before their Texas counterparts were expected to do the same thing at a meeting in Austin. It does clear the way for the Sooners to apply formally to the Pac-12, with whom they have been undergoing discussions in recent days on how to make the school's addition to the conference work. On Sunday, those talks were still a long way from the point at which the Pac-12 leadership would be comfortable recommending the move to the league's president. That, according to ESPN.com's Andy Katz, the proposed expansion would include fellow Big 12 schools Oklahoma State and Texas Tech. Now, Oklahoma State regents have scheduled a special meeting for Wednesday to consider matters relating to athletic conference membership. University President Burns Hargis says that the Cowboys have, quote, attractive options and are working closely with Oklahoma to make sure the best interest of both institutions are achieved. He says the regents want to resolve the issue as soon as possible. Well, let's go on the field now. It's really mind-boggling when you think about it. A&M has hosted two somewhat low-profile, non-ranked, non-conference opponents, and each game has brought a sellout crowd to Kyle Field. SMU was the sixth largest ever at Kyle, and Idaho was the seventh largest ever. Only one non-conference opponent has ever drawn more fans than those two games. That was Notre Dame in 2001. Running back Cyrus Gray says that he can tell what kind of crowd it's going to be before he ever gets to the stadium.
Before the game starts at our spirit walk, I see so many people, so I know what type of crowd it's going to turn out to be. And, you know, with 86,000 fans out there, you have to show up. The 12th man is here to cheer you on and to help you. So, you know, you got to bring your best performances.
Will Saturday's game with Oklahoma State approach or better the Nebraska record crowd of 90,079 from last year? Well, it'll be the first battle of two top 10 teams at Kyle Field since second-ranked A&M beat fifth-ranked Texas 20-10 in 1975. The kickoff will be a little after 2:30 Saturday at Kyle Field. Speaking of football, North Carolina will vacate all 16 football victories from the 2008-2009 seasons as part of some self-imposed penalties that follow an NCAA investigation into improper benefits and academic misconduct. The Tar Heels will also cut three scholarships for each of the next three academic years and put their program on 2 years probation. It's North Carolina's response to the NCAA's notice of allegations outlining nine violations. The school will also pay a $50,000 fine, though it isn't imposing a postseason ban. The school must appear before the NCAA Infractions Committee on October the 28th. It was a good weekend for the Aggie soccer team as they opened Big 12 play with a 2-1 win over Baylor Friday night when Chelsea Jones scored with less than 2 minutes to play in regulation. Then yesterday, the Aggies scored at will with a 13-1 blowout of Fordham. Both Annie Coons and Kelly Montague scored hat tricks. A&M will host Iowa State Friday night and Loyola Chicago on Sunday afternoon. All of the 8-team high school districts will start playing football for keeps this weekend, including Bryan, A&M Consolidated, and Rudder. The Bryan Vikings are coming off their first loss of the year, but it's a new season when they host Colleen Ellison for homecoming at Merrill Green Stadium Friday night. It's also homecoming at A&M Consolidated as they look for their first win of the year when they host the Temple Wildcats. The Rudder Rangers will also open district play Friday night on the road at Hutto. Michael Vick's status for the Eagles' next game is uncertain because of a concussion sustained last night in a 35-31 loss at Atlanta. The veteran quarterback must pass several tests and be evaluated by an independent neurologist before he can be cleared to return. Pro Bowl quarterback had thrown for two touchdowns and the Eagles were winning when he left. Vick was injured when he was spun around by a defender and slammed into one of his own teammates. Tony Stewart has snapped a 32-race losing streak by winning the opening race of the Chase for the Sprint Cup Championship. Rain washed out the race yesterday, making it the first Chase event ever to run a day later. Stewart's first win since California last October pushes the two-time champion into contention for another title after a mediocre season by his standards. Well, the Texas Rangers increased their American League West lead on the Angels by a game to 4.5 now after they took 2 out of 3 from Seattle, and the Angels lost 2 of 3 to Baltimore. Texas beat Seattle 3-0 yesterday with Adrian Beltre's 2-run home run. Matt Harrison struck out 9 to get the win. Texas will start a 3-game series at Oakland tomorrow. And as you know by now, they did it. The Houston Astros got loss number 99 and 100 on their trip to Chicago over the weekend. The 100th loss came Saturday, 2-1 Cubs win. Yesterday, they beat Chicago 3-2. Houston will be at Cincinnati tonight. And Tony Romo atoned for last weekend's fourth quarter meltdown that cost Dallas a win over the Jets. Playing with a cracked rib, Romo hit Jesse Holly on a 77-yard pass play on the Cowboys' first play in overtime that set up Dan Bailey's game-winning 19-yard field goal and a 27-24 overtime win at San Francisco. And the Houston Texans go to 2-0 for a second straight year after a 23-13 win over the Miami Dolphins. Andre Johnson caught 7 passes for 93 yards and a touchdown. And that's your look at sports. Thank you for logging on to sports on WTAW.com.